called Fruit Explosion. And as soon as it was over, Dad said, "You got to preach that in Kamiyai." And so it's something I feel super passionate about. If you know me, you've heard me use the word fruit. It's just, it's who I am. It's what I'm about. I am all about being fruitful. If I need to use a handheld mic, I can do that too. I really feel like the Bible only tells us that we can judge one thing, if you really look up the scripture, and that is fruit. We don't get to judge each other's hearts. We don't get to judge situations and circumstances. We don't get to judge God. We don't get to do anything like that. But it's interesting to me that God said you can judge fruit. And I'm like, wow, that means that that's got to be a pretty critical thing. It's got to be huge. And I have a feeling, and I'm hoping, you're going to walk away today with an entirely different understanding of fruit. I know I did when I really started researching and studying it. So today I have a little outline. I don't know if my slide's up there. It's the next one. We're going to cover what is fruit, because I really want you to get the biblical definition of what this is. And then we're also going to talk about kind of a lifestyle of fruit if we get some time. And then I have some critical thinking questions I want you to just spend some time thinking about at the end. So the first picture I have up here on the slide, this is what we think of when we think of fruit, right? We think, I'm going to produce some fruit, right? We hear that in the Bible all the time. Produce fruit, bear fruit. I'm going to produce some fruit. So to be fruitful, I need to produce some apples, or I need to produce some pears. I need to produce something in whatever I'm doing, right? I am hoping that I rock this picture for you today. I am something else that's just hugely core to who I am is I just like hate religion and tradition, and I love to really know what does God really say. And I love to take something and analyze it and go, do I believe this because it's really God's word, or do I believe this because it's just tradition? Why do I believe it? And so I'm digging through this. I want to take you just to some definitions. Part one, what is fruit? Just go with the English. Every time the word fruit is used in the Bible, it's a Hebrew word that means fruitful, okay? So the definition of the word fruitful is bearing fruit in abundance, causing or assisting prolific growth. And I am a math major, not an English major, so I'm like, what does prolific mean, right? So I look up prolific. And again, it's abundantly, highly fruitful, producing large quantities or with great frequency, highly productive. Anybody else feeling a pattern? And I'm like, wow, I'm getting something here. Maybe seven apples isn't really fruitful. Right? So I'm just like digging into these words and I'm going, wow, in the Bible I'm like, well, to produce good fruit in the church realm, we're kind of like, I just need to do some good stuff here. I need to do some good stuff there. And I'm producing some good stuff, so I'm being fruitful. I'm digging into this and I'm going, wow, that is not what fruitful means. Fruitful means I'm producing it in a huge quantity. I'm producing it prolifically. I'm producing it abundantly. So I want to rock your visual image of fruit for a second. Okay? And I want you to look at this picture. That is fruit. A bowl of seven apples that decorates your table is not fruit. And we can laugh. We sit here laughing, but have we not lived our Christian lives that way? Have we not told ourselves, well, I'm producing fruit because I'm producing a couple things here and a couple things there, and so I'm fruitful. The reality is, that's fruitful. How many of us are producing that? I'll tell you what, it rocked my world. Especially because for me, this was a huge visual. I lived in an area right next to Walla Walla, Washington for several years. A huge produce area. So during apple season, you could literally drive for like a mile straight. There was crates, like five high, three deep, packed of apples, like for a mile. It was just like an innumerable amount of apples. Like you couldn't even imagine. You're like, wow. And when I'm studying this, God's going, Kelsey, that's fruit. And I was like, whoa. Because fruit's my thing, right? I'm all about fruit. And I'm like, okay, God, you just kind of rocked my world a little bit. And what's really interesting about the Bible, too, is when it uses the word fruit, the only time the Bible uses the word fruits with an S is when it talks about multiple things, like the fruits of the Spirit. But when it talks about bearing fruit, it uses it singular, right? So God's, you know, it's not bearing fruit if you have 100 apples and 100 oranges and 300 pears and altogether you got a lot of stuff. It's bearing fruit if you have a million apples. And then if God's called you to bear fruit in two areas, that means you have to have a million apples and a million pears. And then if God's asked you to bear fruit in three areas, you have to have a million apples, a million pears, and a million oranges. And I'm like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. Because God is asking me right now to produce fruit in multiple areas. And so I started just really studying. And first of all, and I hope you're feeling it in this moment, but I just felt convicted. And I'm like, wow, I've lived my entire Christian life in church thinking that I'm producing fruit because I've got seven apples in my hand. When the reality is, when I dig into God's word, tradition misled me. And I'm really not being fruitful. And I had to get really honest with myself. And I had to really take a look at what fruit am I producing, and is it abundant? Is it prolific? Is it huge? And the other thing I started looking at is, and you might want to go back one slide. I want you to notice these two words, the word fruitful and the word prolific. They're adjectives. And no, I'm not an English major, but I did notice this. They're adjectives. What do adjectives do? They describe a noun. And then it hit me. My fruit describes me. My fruit tells the world what kind of a person I am. Is that not why God said we can judge fruit? Now, don't get me wrong. Don't mix this up. Your fruit shouldn't be your identity. You're not going, oh, because I do this, or because I am this, this is who I am, right? Because I produce, this is who I am. No, that's not our identity. But it definitely identifies us. It's an identifier of who we are. And that was convicting too. I'm like, so God, you're saying that the fruit I'm producing, or sometimes the lack thereof, tells the world who I am. Shows or doesn't show your glory. Ministers or doesn't minister. Shouts your name or doesn't shout your name. And I was just like, wow. It really totally changed the way I look at life. It changed the way I look at my relationship with God. It changed the way I look at volunteering and ministry and figuring out what God's called me to do and just being fruitful. And so I want to take you to a verse. This verse, you've all heard it probably a million times. It's Psalms 1, verses 2 through 3. And I pulled it out in the NLT version. It says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. And the word fruit in this scripture, and it's on the next slide. It's a Hebrew word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. I did even listen to it online, but I'm not going to, like, humiliate myself up here and try to pronounce a Hebrew word. But this means a fruit of action. And I think to produce something, there has to be an action, right? It's again, not our identity, but we have to do something to make something. To produce something. And I started reading. I'm still in the research process, and God just said, start researching produce. I'm like, produce? I don't know anything about produce. My family doesn't grow things, we kill things. You know, we cannot grow anything if our life depended on it. Gardening, oh, it's just, we're not gonna be successful, right? And so I just started Googling things about produce, and I started like digging in. And I read this crazy article about improper tree vigor. I thought that was a really interesting title right off the bat. I'm like, okay, I got to read this thing, right? And this is what it said. It said, undoubtedly, in the backyard situation, The number one reason for the failure of trees to bear fruit is improper tree vigor. Over-vigorous trees, and that line right there just kind of blew, I'm like, okay, so we just personified a tree. It's a person. Over-vigorous trees, right, they're doing something. They have characteristics. Expend all their energy on growing wood, and they do not produce flowers or buds. It's like, wow, that is interesting. And God just really broke it down for me. And he just said, Kelsey, if you're focused on growth, you're missing producing fruit. I know that sounds counterintuitive for a second. I promise I'm going to get there and clear that up for you. But I really want to separate the concept of growth and producing fruit. Because even a tree in creation, when it gets this improper tree vigor and it spends all its energy just growing tall and big and producing wood, it spends all that energy and it has no fruit. And what do we do with wood? We cut it down and we chuck it in a fire. It's nice for a while, keeps us warm for a little bit. There's nothing left. And I'm thinking, God, how many times are we so focused on growth? I need to grow in this area, and I need to read this book. And don't get me wrong, I'm so for all of those things. I'm just talking about priorities here for a second. We focus so much on growth that we don't produce any fruit. Rather than, and I'm going to give you some really good keys. I know you're kind of all going, well, then how do I produce fruit? I promise, we're going to get there. But rather than if we focus on producing fruit, the growth is going to naturally happen in the right time, in the right increment, to make us as fruitful as possible. I hope that's kind of making sense to you. But I think sometimes we have to evaluate, too, I think sometimes we get so gung-ho that we're like, I really want to grow. I got to grow. I'm going to do so I can grow. And we totally miss the concept of producing fruit. We ended up spending all this energy. I mean, think about it. How many times have you said, I am working so hard and I have nothing to show for it? Oh, that's a painful statement. Because that statement comes right back to me. And am I focused on growth? And I'm not producing any buds? Or am I producing fruit? I know, it's kind of deep. Are we focused on getting big, or are we focused on producing fruit? It's a pretty honest question. And I don't think that focusing on getting big, I think sometimes people think, well, that's prideful, and I'm not prideful. It's not prideful. I think a lot of times people focus on growing for really good reasons. I think they focus on growing big for really good reasons. They just miss the mark with what the priority and what the goal should be. And I think we've all been there, and I think we've all done it. I've done it. I've so done it. With the right heart, trying really hard to do the right thing, but I missed the mark. Because tradition told me one thing, and God's word, once I dug into it, finally revealed the real truth to me. And that's like a little nugget. How many truths are sitting there deep in your word for you? Just God's just waiting for you to find, because we're being misled and we're blinded. Not because we're bad. We're still trying. We've got a great heart, but we're just missing the truth that would put us under his immense blessing. So I want to go back to that verse. It's on the next slide, Psalms 1, 2, and 3. And I want to break this down a little bit. First of all, did you notice, verse 3 is the one we hear all the time. They're like trees planted along a river bank, bearing fruit each season. We hear the first part of verse 3 all the time. When the topic fruit comes up, that verse comes up most of the time. Did you notice what verse goes before it? But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. That's interesting. Did the verse, faith without works is dead, come right before this verse? No. Great verse. Love that verse. But God's talking, you know, we have one of the best verses on fruit, and the verse right before it talks about meditating on the law of God. That's interesting. And if you really believe that the Bible is the living word of God, and if you really believe that it contains truth, then you really believe that God was pretty intentional about how it was put together, and you really believe that there's a reason that this verse happens before the fruit verse. And so I started breaking up this verse. It says, they are like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit each season. The Hebrew word for season means time, occasion, experience. I think sometimes living in the Clearwater Valley, we're so used to all four seasons, which I love that about living here, by the way. It's absolutely amazing. It's one of the things Josh and I really missed when we lived in a subtropical location and we lived in the desert. We're like, oh, we just want to go back home and have fall and spring and summer and winter. But I think sometimes it kind of messes up our context when we read something like this, because God's not talking about bearing fruit. You know, our fruit trees only produce in the spring and summer here, right? And this Hebrew word breaks down to they produce fruit each time, each occasion, each experience. Does that kind of say that there is no time off of producing fruit? I mean, think about time, two increments of time. We have days, we have hours, we have seconds. That means you're producing fruit every single second of your life. You're producing fruit every single occasion in your life. You're producing fruit in every single experience of your life. That's huge fruit. That's prolific, right? That's abundant. It's not seasonal in how we think season, like, well, I'm in a fruit-producing phase right now. I've heard this a lot, too, and wow, it kind of convicted me. I'm like, oh, okay, those words are never going to come out of my mouth. I'm just not in a fruit-producing season right now. God has me in a time of rest. I said it. I'm sorry. I have. How many of us have? And I'm like, oh, God, I am convicted. Because your word says, if I really dig down, that I have to produce fruit every occasion. And our fruit looks different, I think, during different times of life. But, wow. And that was another thing, that when I was preaching this message, I started talking about the concept of rest. And this statement just pops out of my mouth. And I said, I don't rest, I produce fruit. And I went, whoa, I got to say that again. I don't rest, I produce fruit. And let me break that down for you. What I mean is, I don't take a family vacation to rest. I take a family vacation because my children are one of the most important things God's given me, and I am going to produce fruit in their lives, and they're going to be amazing, and they're going to be strong, and I'm going to love them in every way that they need loved, and I'm going to put everything into them that they need put into them, and they're going to understand what God is really all about and what life with God is all about. I don't go on date night with my husband to rest. I go on date night with my husband because the more one we are, the more amazing God can be through us. The better the relationship we have, the more amazing things God can do with us. I don't sleep so that I can get rest. I sleep because the reality is I'm a human being and I want to produce fruit. And if I'm exhausted, I can't do the next day what I need to do. Is that kind of making sense? I don't exercise and eat right because I need to take a break or because I just need to focus on my body. I do it because I want to produce fruit. And the healthier that I am, because I'm a human being, the more I can do for God. And I'm speaking at a conference we're doing here in 2 weeks. And they just told me it's open for men and women. And I'm going to take this concept like it's going to be awesome. God's just downloading some things. And one of the messages I'm preaching is, this is going to totally freak some of you out, so I apologize in advance. The Sabbath is not a day of rest. Ouch. I believed it. I don't believe it anymore. And if you want to come, I would so love to break it down for you because it's amazing. And I was like, oh, God, you're so awesome. But when we're talking about fruit, sometimes we get in this, I'm just in this season right now. I'm just in this season. Well, when we talk about fruit, the Bible says a season is every time, every experience, every occasion. Right? Let's break down another word. Their leaves never wither. I loved this one. The Hebrew word for wither means to be foolish, to fade, to fall. This was my best one, to droop. Do you realize that if you're bearing fruit, you never droop? Not even droop. I mean, the first ones were like, be foolish, okay, yeah. Wither, okay, that's kind of, I'm heading towards dead, right? Then I hit droop and I'm like, oh, not even droop? That means I gotta be bright green all the time. That means I gotta be like at my, you know, you think of a tree that's not drooping at all. It's like fresh spring and everything's in that like intense growth, you know? And it's like, you know when fall just starts hitting and you see those leaves just starting to go like this? I can't eat. So if I'm really producing fruit, I'm not even doing this at all? I'm like, wow. So never wither, you know, in our English language, we think, oh, that just means I'm not heading towards dead. But the Hebrew says, I don't even droop. I don't even fade. That means burnout's not an option. Right? And I'm just like, and I know you're still going, so how do I do this? I'm getting there, I promise. But it has to be huge. And it identifies me. So, man, I really want to show the glory of God in my life. And I have to do it all the time. And I never droop. And I know some of you right now are going, I can't do that. That's like a lot. And I just don't think that I'm big enough. Let me just tell you, you're not. Nor am I. But I'm still going, okay, God, but you said that it can be like this. Right? I can be like this. I hope your wheels are churning. And this one I don't have on the screen, but I wanted to talk about it again today. And they prosper in all they do. This one was really awesome for me. They do. The Hebrew word means to produce, to acquire, to spend, to attend to appoint, to use. And sometimes we think prosper in all they do means God's going to give me all these things. And that's true. God's going to bless you. But this Hebrew word says to use, to spend, to attend to prepare. So now all of a sudden, the Hebrew word prosper, I'm thinking, blessings are coming to me. But the Hebrew word is saying, you're going to use, you're going to spend, you're going to attend to. And God's going to make all of that prosperous. Sometimes when we think prosper, I think we think, someday God's going to pour out his blessings. And I'm going to sit in my huge mansion on my lounger in front of my pool with my virgin margarita. And it's going to be so relaxing. And we're like, someday I'll get to rest. And someday the blessings are going to come. And it's all going to be wonderful. But the Hebrew says, you're just going to give more. You're just going to spend more. You're just going to attend to more. And I'm going to prosper it. And it's going to be amazing. And you're going to do it in every occasion and in every experience. And you're never going to droop. And it's going to be all the time. And it's going to be huge and prolific and abundant. I'm like, I want that. That's even better than being beside a pool in my mansion. And so I want to read these verses to you in the message. I had them somewhere. There it is. It's right before. There. I love the message sometimes. It just, read the verse before. Instead, you thrill to God's word. You chew on scripture day and night. And you're a tree replanted in Eden, replanted in perfection, replanted in your origin, replanted in where it all started, bearing fresh fruit every month, never dropping a leaf, always in blossom. Sometimes we get so focused on growing, and we equate that to doing, that we totally miss the mark. Producing fruit is all about being. It's not about doing, it's about being. It's about being in your word. It's about being with God. It's about being in relationship with him every second of the day. And trust me, I am so not one of those people that can get down on my hands and knees for 2 hours and just, I'm just way too, like, I can't do it. But you know what? I can sit on my piano and play and sing and pray that way for hours on end. And I can, like, walk the halls of my high school and just see things and pray for kids in my mind. And I can drive. Driving is something, like, I just get these downloads while I'm driving. I think because I'm doing something, but it's still, like, mindless enough that God can totally speak to me. But I make time. And you know what? Sometimes, too, we say, well, I listen to my worship music, and I come to church, and I pray. But what is the really, 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 really specific thing that this says? You thrill on God's word. And there is just nothing that can replace God's word. There's nothing. There's no amount of worship. There's no amount of conversation with other Christians. It's just amazing. And I will be the first to admit, I grew up as a pastor's kid. I was not somebody who liked to read. I struggled with reading. It was hard for me. I'm not a fast reader. And honestly, as a pastor's kid, I kind of hit the point where I'm like, I've heard enough sermons. I've heard every verse in the Bible anyway, right? That's like reading it. I did totally kind of get to that point, I'll be honest. And I just felt really convicted like 4 years ago or so, 4 or 5 years ago. I'm like, I need to read the Bible cover to cover. And what was amazing when I started reading it is I'm like, I am missing so many things. And why have I never heard a sermon on this? This is awesome. And that story's in there? That's amazing. Why have I never heard about that? And I started like, these things started, I started thrilling to God's word. And don't get me wrong, you hit Leviticus and it's a little daunting at times. But there is some cool stuff in the Bible. And when I hit the daunting things, I'm like, God, I know you got something to show me in here. I know there's something to see in here. And there was. And there's just something powerful about chewing on God's word. Yeah. It's going to change your life. And sometimes, as Americans, we're not the best at being disciplined at things because we're really busy. But let me just tell you what. There is nothing that will change your Christian life like reading the Bible. If it is one verse a day, yes, start there. Start there. One verse a day, do it. Start there. It's just so powerful. It's so incredible. And this verse is so enlightening. How do you produce fruit? You be with God. Because let me tell you what, if you're chewing on your word, and if you're having a relationship with God that's just intense and amazing and awesome, and you're cutting out time for him, you're going to do all the do's. And they're going to be good do's because they're the do's that God's asking you to do rather than the do's that you think you should do. I know, that's a lot of do's, which sounds kind of scary. But we have to get fruit first and growth second. Growth's going to happen. I'm going to make a statement that I hope does not hurt your feelings. But I think after what we talked about this morning, you're going to go, yeah. If you are producing some fruit, you are not biblically bearing fruit. I know it was a hard one for me too. Because I think we kind of have these checklists as a Christian sometimes. We're like, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I got baptized. Yeah, I'm producing fruit. Yeah, I go to church. You know what I'm saying, right? It's kind of one of those just the basics. This kind of rocks one of the basics on our checklist. Producing fruit is not seven apples. Producing fruit is something huge that identifies you as a child of God with the power of God in you. Your fruit should scream, I am not humanly possible of the, you know, of making this. I did this grand experiment late spring. And let me tell you what, if you know me, my task list is psycho, okay? I work 2 full-time jobs. I'm a full-time college student. I have 3 little kids, plus we do ministry. And I'm reading all this stuff about fruit. I'm like, okay, God. And these jobs pay my bills, okay? They feed my kids. They pay the house payment that shelters us. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to take a whole day out of my schedule and out of my timeline, which I don't have a day to give, and I'm just going to spend it with you. And it was an amazing day. It was amazing. I put everything aside, took everything off my mind, and set myself away from the kids, and I totally just focused on God. And you know what's amazing is, I think for some of us, you know, God just miraculously takes care of things. For me, I'm finding that God redeems my time. And the Bible has several amazing scriptures that talk about redeeming time. But the next day, I did a college geometry class worth 3 credits in 9 hours. I did not even post that on Facebook because I did not want anybody to think that was me. That was so not me. That was so God redeeming my time. That was so God saying, because you're so close to me, check out the fruit you get to produce. Because you're so wanting to just be with me, check out what's going to happen in your life. Within that same day and the next day, I edit weddings and they take weeks. And in 2 days, I did what would normally take me 3 weeks. I completed a wedding and a half. Culled it, edited every single image, put it on a disc, had it uploaded online, everything. And I'm just like, wow. It kind of got me going, so what if I spent 2 days with you, God? Then what would happen? You know, I'm kind of like, okay, maybe I shouldn't push it. You know, I'm still kind of, how does this play? Because I'm all about fruit. But I want to encourage you to read, and I only get to talk to you for just a second about lifestyle. But Joshua and Caleb, it's kind of funny to me. I started going, I can be literal and dorky sometimes. And where does big fruit happen in the Bible? The big grapevine that they brought home, right? I know that's kind of literal and dorky. But it was funny because when I started reading it, the huge fruit in the Bible that was literally a huge grapevine was literally the story about huge fruit. And I really want to encourage you to read it. And when I speak in a couple weeks, I'm going to break it down even more. But some things that stood out to me is these two men were so close to God. Joshua was the guy that snuck into the tent after Moses, right? We read that and I think we go, super cool, right? Joshua's awesome. He's basking in God's presence. Does the Bible mention anybody else doing it? Don't you think probably the rest of them are like, yeah, Joshua's sneaking in the tent after Moses for his breadcrumbs again. I mean, can't you just hear that conversation happening? Yeah, Joshua's just trying to live off Moses' leftover glory. I mean, I can just kind of hear the comments. I mean, nobody else did it with him. And then Caleb, there's a really interesting scripture in the Bible about Caleb that refers to him by a different name that means black. And Jewish theologians say that there's documentation that Caleb's face literally would blacken because he would fast so much. He spent so much time in prayer and fasting with God that his face would literally begin to go black. Can you imagine how much fasting that would take? Can you imagine what your body would have to experience for the skin on your face to start to blacken? And these are the two men that when they come back from the land of giants, they're like, let's do it! And the whole tribe of Israel is like, no, we can't do it. And they just start screaming, come on, guys, we can. We have God on our side, and he's promised us this. And then what does the Israelites do? Mind you, this is not like a group meeting like this. We're talking about a meeting with 1.5 million people, okay? If you get freaked out talking in your Sunday school class, imagine doing this in front of 1.5 million people, right? And they're just like, no, we have to. It's God's promise. And what do? They start threatening to stone him. And the coolest part that I totally missed in this story, I'm not sure why, is God literally comes down. And at that time, people don't get to see the presence of God very often. I mean, it's very rare. It says that God's presence comes down and he literally vindicates Joshua and Caleb in front of 1.5 million people. And the 10 other spies that were saying, no, we can't, God strikes them dead. And he says, these guys are so in tune with me, if nobody else will stand up for them, I will. I will come down to the planet and produce huge fruit in them. Nobody else has to do a thing. I got this. It's amazing what can happen in our lives if we have that kind of a relationship with God. If it's that intense, if it's that deep, if it's that steady, if it's that intimate. So the guys are going to hand out some papers to you and writing utensils. And I love to finish my messages with weird ways like this. So let's give everybody a piece of paper. They're coming to you. And I want you to notice something about Joshua and Caleb. If you study these guys, Caleb was the extrovert. Caleb was the one to like jump up and say something right away. Joshua was the introvert who kind of snuck in the tent. He was the one-legged man who God still calls to be the leader of Israel and go into battle, right? Joshua's just kind of this quiet guy. And yet when something came up that struck their heartstrings about God, both of them just had this immediate response of, come on, guys, it's God's promise. If we're that, like, in relationship with God, I've found the deeper I get, there's things people say sometimes that I'm like, no, really, do you know what the Bible says about that? Or, you know, God has promised. I mean, it just comes out of my mouth before I even realize it. Sometimes I go, wow, was that a little too intense? Did I say that a little too fast? Because it's just so deep in me. It's so part of what I believe and part of the relationship I have with my Creator. Fruit is huge. It's not tiny. It's not a couple. It's something that you're so in depth in your relationship with God. Not that it's so complicated or that you're so smart and educated or that, you know, you're just this most amazing person at prayer. It's all about a time and relationship thing. It's all about an energy thing with God. And the fruit happens. And you never wither. And you produce fruit. That's one thing I loved about the scripture in the Message. Did you notice that it said, you're always in blossom, your leaves never droop, and you're always producing fruit? That means that the fruit production cycle is happening all the time, right? I'm producing fruit, but I'm also still really green in my leaves, and I'm budding all the time. All the time. It's just going and going and going and producing huge things. So even if you don't have a piece of paper yet, I want to ask you two questions today, and I want you to really think about them. Question number one, and I want you to write this down. And I really want you to think about just yourself for a minute. Question one, what can you do personally to draw closer and facilitate a more extreme love and relationship with your God? Just take a minute. Think about it. Write it down. What can you do? None of us have arrived. I know Josh and I talk about plans, like how do we make this better? How do we spend more time with God? All the time. All the time. What's the next step? What can you personally do to facilitate a more extreme love and relationship with your Creator? I'm just going to let you think for a moment and write that down. We're not going to sing or anything. I just asked Johnny to play because I feel like music a lot of times can be like Jehoshaphat sending those worshipers at the front. It can be something that's a great facilitator. It can lead us somewhere. So what can you do? Here's the second question. And this one's a lot harder. Maybe not harder to answer, but maybe just harder on us to answer. Can we turn that guitar down just a little bit, guys? What areas of your life are not producing fruit? And I'm going to ask you to be really honest with yourself. You don't have to show this paper to anybody. But what areas of your life are not producing fruit? What areas of your life are you putting in a lot of energy and you feel like you have nothing to show for it? And I think as you dig deep into your word, and I think as you do those things, you just made a plan for yourself. I'm not sure you realize that. Question one, totally just made a plan for yourself. Now you have to execute it. How do you get that closer relationship with God? I think in those times you're going to find ways that are going to help you produce fruit in that area you're not pursuing fruit in. And maybe the only thing is just you getting connected with God in a deeper way, and all of a sudden you're going to start seeing fruit. Maybe God's going to reveal some truths to you. You're missing this one little thing. If you just do this one little thing, it's going to change everything. I want you to save this piece of paper. And I want you to act on it. And I want you to do something. On your Connect card, if you want to pull that out, there's a couple things you can check today. The first one says, I am committed to spending more time in God's Word because I understand that this is the foundation for producing biblical fruit. And don't check it just because it's on the Connect card. Don't do it. Only check it and be honest with yourself if you're really committed to stepping it up in your word life. You're really committed. Maybe you're doing nothing, and maybe stepping it up for you is one verse a day. Maybe you do spend time with God in your word every day, but you're going, wow, I want more. You should want more. The more time you spend, you should want more. Don't let it be empty. Let it be a relationship. Don't let it just be reading a book. The second thing there, it says, I commit to being honest with myself about identifying areas of my life that are not producing fruit. That's a really hard one. Sometimes it's easy to make an excuse or state circumstances rather than just saying, yeah, I'm totally not being fruitful in this area. I'm producing a couple apples, but now I realize that is not fruit. It's not what God asked of me. God said to be fruitful. It's huge. And it's so huge that the world can identify the glory of God in me by it. If this hit home for you today, if you're still curious, I would love to invite you to the conference in 2 weeks. We're going to just take this concept even deeper. It's for men and women, from what I understand, this year. I'm excited about what God's going to do. Today, I really hope I rip some tradition out. I did when I studied it for myself, and that drives me nuts. I'm like, God, I don't even like tradition, and it's still in there, and I still have to get rid of it. So we're going to take the offering. And as the offering bucket passes you, if you want prayer, we would love to invite our prayer team up, and we would love to pray with you. But you are holding a piece of paper in your hand today that could take you home and change your life. You're holding a piece of paper in your hand that can give you everything you've desired. So God, right now, God, we just pray you would bless this offering, God. God, let us trust you. That it's not about what we do. But if we can walk away, even how scary that is, and we can give you our time and give you our finances and give you our energy and just be in that relationship with you, that you're going to make it all so fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want prayer today, once that offering bucket passes you, please come up. We love to partner with you. We're a family. We love to be a part of your life. If you're new today, I know I've met a bunch of you, and I know we have several more. The link is right outside the door to the left. It's awesome. We're not trying to stop you for a meeting. We're just going to hand you a couple things on your way home. We love you. We're excited about partnering in life with you. If you want prayer, we want to partner with you that way. If you're new, we totally want to touch base with you in the link. Please stop there before you go home. And as we walk out, Johnny's just going to sing Coming Back to the Heart of Worship. And I hope you understand a little more now that the heart of worship isn't about doing all these things to worship God, but it's just about being with him. So thank you for coming. We love you guys. I hope you take the power on that paper home and change your life. So come up for prayer. Stop at the link. Thank you so much for coming. We've got cake available. Make sure you grab some of that before you go. Have a great afternoon.